Hey, everybody. Welcome to Hobbs and Friends. I am your host, Jason Hobbs. And as always, I have a very interesting and hopefully entertaining show planned for you. this is a really cool one for me because it's with some guys I don't necessarily know that well. But some of you may know on the old G Pluses, there was an RPG Maps community. And here's Justin was on it. How you doing, Justin?
Not too bad, man. How you doing?
You are that Justin, right?
No. Oh. That's not true. Thought when I read that, I thought, oh, is that how he's going to introduce me? I was like,
no, I'm serious.
Like, because Dave doesn't get that fancy entrance.
I don't deserve that.
No,
entrance.
I'm serious because I saw your maps attached to that. You've never been on G Plus before?
No. No,
this is fantastic.
I have been on G Plus, but I don't. No way. Are you serious?
Well, it doesn't matter now. Yeah. G Plus is gone.
Oh yeah, I guess it does. Jokes on him.
This is awesome.
That's all right, so crazy, man. That's
all right. Crazy. And for our other misplaced guest, who I thought it was someone else, David Hamrick, DM Dave. Oh, great, how's it going?
I'm great. Oh, not to be confused with DM David, who is another person.
Yeah, when I was writing the outline, I was like, hey, if Sean Merwin says he's good, you know, I can't wait to talk to him. And then he's like, oh, no, I'm not that guy.
Yeah, we're just a couple schlubs, right. Justin and I.
We're all schlubs, man. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Don't believe the hype about Hobbs. Yeah, that's for sure. Well, it's impossible now. G Plus is gone.
Wow.
All right. Geez. So, Justin David Russell, as you would know him on Facebook and maybe his patron, is an irrepressible mapper. You like do a map every day, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
You've been doing two or three lately too, haven't you?
I'm impressed.
Well, when I get backlogged, like, you know, sometimes life happens. But so essentially what I do is make a map for every day of the month. And I do my best to do one every single day. But sometimes, you know, I have to catch up and do like two or three a day or whatever when I get time. So,
okay, that's pretty awesome. So like we mentioned, this is not DM David. Yeah. This is DM Dave. I guess he's like a full-time writer or something,
day
right?
Job, isn't that what you said? I'm a writer for a tech company. And then DM Dave probably gets another 20 to 40 hours of my attention every week. So I write about 17,000 words a day, according to Grammarly. And yeah, it's what I do for a living. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. So your actual blog is strangely pretty close to DM David, but not on purpose.
I think after I started, I started the blog just to like hold my notes for my own D&D session, which has been going on for over a year now. I think I did like a Google search and I typed in my own domain name wrong and his came up and I'm like, oh man.
I bet. So that's pretty cool. But I actually, when I looked at your site, I thought your site looked better than his. So it looks cleaner.
Now it's going to come back and bite you if he ever wants to come on your podcast.
Then he'll just say, oh, what do I need to do to fix this Hobbs?
Yeah, I just use an out-of-the-box WordPress. I was reading, I don't know if you've followed, I mean, you're an OSR guy, but there's a blog that does monster tactics called What the Monsters Know. .com, and then I follow Dyson's blog as well, Dyson Logos, who does cartography for Wizards now, and they both had very like plain white websites, so I was like, well, that's what I'm gonna do too, so that's all I did.
I'm very familiar
talking about Google Plus.
Yeah, Dyson's awesome.
Yes. He's been in, I've talked to him many times and a great mapper. I have two of my favorite mappers. One is Dyson and one is Matt Jackson. And they don't necessarily get along.
Yeah, Dyson's
a
wildcat.
Which I think is funny.
He's cool. His stuff's really good. And he gives it away commercially, which is really nice.
Well, you say give it away, was like an actual Patreon tier.
I think they're available on his website.
Yes,
Well, you can't use them. Yeah, you can use them for non-commercial use off of his website. That's totally true. Yeah, he's always had free maps on his blog.
Yeah,
because I've been using them for years.
Too, so.
He actually let me use some of his maps in certain situations on my own blog for stuff I had written, which I thought was very friendly. Super nice guy. All right. So I don't want to have DM Dave take over the whole conversation, Justin. So when did you start like trying to do a map every day?
Well, that was, I had actually started Patreon a while ago, and it is a supplement. You know, because I'm an illustrator. I'm a freelance illustrator. That's my job, my day job. So I wanted to make supplementary income and find a way to kind of do D&D stuff, you know, and make an have an excuse to do it every day. So, you know, I'm also a writer. So I want to try and marry all those things together. And the maps were a way to do it. And they're quick. I've got a little system down so I can spend most of my time coming up with the design and the story. And then I always give a little flavor text blurb or whatever. And that's kind of how that has got its beginning. And, you know, so that, and it all feeds into everything else I do. So, you know, like images and things that I'll paint end up feeding into the maps. So everything feeds off of itself.
Nice, man. I mean, they're cool. This is the Jason David Russell from Facebook, right?
Justin David Russell.
I haven't said it right or wrong then. Now
I get Jason, Jeremy. It's all good.
I do too.
So. Yeah, I'm sure you do. You're part of that group. Yep,
exactly. Yeah. All right. So I usually talk about how we know each other, and it's pretty obvious we don't know. None of us know me. Neither of you know me, and I know neither of you. But, I did actually play a game with you before, right, Justin?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We met through Sword and Spell.
Right. So I've talked about that game a few times on Random Screed and maybe mentioned it here. I don't know. It's a pretty crazy game where you only have his voice to go by. There's no maps. There's no, there's nothing but basically really him school. Talking. Right. Yep. I mean, that's, I don't even know if that's old school. That's just totally madness, but pre old school almost. Although they did say that Gary, hid
behind some cabinets. Right. Yep. And that was all they saw.
Yeah. Did you read that somewhere or did the GM from Sword and Spell tell you that?
I read that separately and that ended up just kind of being the game I fell into. So it was kind of exciting to experience that, but it can be disorienting sometimes, but it's also, I don't know if you were in that game, but I actually introduced Roll20 to that group because no one could tell what the hell was going on. So I was like, you know, we can use Roll20 to just draw the map out in real time. And, you know, like it doesn't have to be crazy, like, you know, new school stuff. It can, but we can use the table with the grid and we can map it and everybody can see it. So, you know, and that kind of changed things a little bit, but we,
are you saying that he's using Roll20 now?
He himself did not, but we as players did. Okay. So it was essentially like us sitting at the table and him off doing his own thing. You know what I mean? So it was, so if we wanted to use it, we could.
This game is so interesting. My buddy and actually the editor of this show, Craig Brasco, both played in the game because I wanted someone to go with me so I wasn't attacked by you crazy people. But that's a joke. Oh, man, it's no off way. Discord anyway. And if you're ever around on Discord, you should check out Sword and Spell. All right. So as we've mentioned, DM Dave and I do not know each other, although we've been chatting a little bit on Messenger. That's been fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome,
but obviously you guys know each other. So maybe there's a story there. Dave, you want to talk about that?
Yeah. You know, I started my blog last August and I was kind of on the lookout for people who were doing stuff that primarily had a very good work ethic and were talented too. Which is, you know, a hard combo to find sometimes. And, you know, I think it was on Facebook. I want to say Fantasy Art. I don't think I was in the map group yet. And I saw a lot of JD stuff coming through. There were a couple people that I saw coming through. And I think I contacted him talking about doing a collaboration. One of the first things I think we did was that boat, right?
Yeah.
It was the boat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we just started a chat on Messenger and I told him I dug his stuff and you know, I told him about my my blog. And then over time he's learned more about me and my top secret layer and everything that I've got going on in the background. But yeah, that's about it. Actually, this is the first time we've probably even heard each other in person. Or
actually,
like,
I heard you through voices. The video, and you have not heard me.
Yeah. You didn't even know what I looked like probably until I did the video for the Kickstarter 2 weeks ago. So it's been solely through Messenger, but it's been a pretty good relationship. Mm-hmm. We started talking about doing. I kept lamenting how I wanted to do a mega delve. Back in, I think, September, October, and we started working on the Secret of the Forsaken Peak project, which is started off with him drawing all the maps.
And yeah, that was actually when you approached me, because I was deep into Forsaken Peak already. I had done the first several maps.
I didn't know you'd even done it yet. That's awesome.
I had started it already, and I was posting about it. And you're like, "Hey, I want to do a mega delve, and like, do you want me to fill this?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure."
Cool. I'd really wanted to do one, and I think Dungeons of the Mad Mage was just about to come out, and then when it hit, people were complaining about some of the stuff with it, and I was like, man, I really like mega delves. I'm a big my regular D&D group doesn't like mega delves. Anytime I bring up the word Underdark, they're like, ugh, no. So I'll go do mine myself, whatever. That's how it kind of came to be. And then, it's been pretty good ever since. Justin's amazing. Not too many artists with his work ethic out there, in my opinion. And he hand paints everything, which is absolutely insane. Get Photoshop, man. Come on.
I have Photoshop.
get yourself a tablet. Come on, what are you doing?
You got anything to add into that, Justin, before we move on?
Just that the Forsaken Peak thing was a Beckme thing initially. And
we're going to talk about that later. So yeah. I'm just talking about how you guys knew each other.
Oh no, that was it. I had no idea who Dave was. I was I was sitting there minding my own business, and he's like, "Oh, hey man, you want to do this thing?" I was like, "Sure. Let's do it."
That's awesome. See, I hear about that more often than you'd think in the gamosphere industry or whatever. Awesome. All right. So, next, I usually this is a segment of the show where we kind of talk about what we've been playing or what we're playing currently or whatever. Do one of you guys want to go, or do you want me to go first?
Go for it, man.
All right. Damn, so man. I play with Tim Shorts in his game on Mondays. He is the guy behind Gothridge Manor podcast and his Gothridge Manor patron. Mm-hmm. And Eric Tenkar, Joe the Lawyer, Matt Jackson, myself and Alessandro Bertolucci, the lone Canadian, he plays in that game with us as well. It's a BX Essentials game, and we played on Monday. We actually, Joe the Lawyer's wizard got killed. I wasn't too sad about it. I think he was.
It happens.
Wait, you've got a lawyer in a group that plays a wizard?
Yeah.
I think that it must be a common thing with lawyers, because I have the same thing.
I'm going to tell Joe then. He's just another lawyer. I tell him that all the time anyway. All right. So I've also been running my Kalmata game. I got another session set up for Sunday and Wednesday. And I think Justin's trying to get into one. So that's always fun. And I actually signed up for my first Dungeon Crawl Classics Road Crew. I'm trying to get Dungeon Crawl Classics into Northern Illinois and Rockford. So if I have any Rockford listeners, which I'm pretty sure I don't, head over to Top Cut on Alpine on April 11th at 6 p.m. And we can roll some crazy ass dice and party like it's 1974. All right, David, you want to go next?
Sure. I've been running the same fifth edition group since St. Patrick's Day of last year. Pretty good group of guys. Like I said, I've got a lawyer, a lot of engineers in my group. Pretty tight little squad. They're totally unabashedly murder hobos, but that's okay. They are 13th level now, so I'm digging through all sorts of old modules, especially stuff in Dungeon Magazine, to throw challenges at them. And it's been a lot of fun. I like to take a lot of second edition stuff and convert it into fifth edition. Definitely has a very distinct feel over fifth edition, which I personally like, and a lot of these guys like too.
anything specific you want to mention?
Yeah. This one adventure that I'm doing right now, and I hope they're not listening because spoilers, it's called Bazalan's Black Sphere, which came out in, 96 or 97 in Dungeon. And it's a cube map, which is pretty cool. I think that's what attracted me to it. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen one. I think Dyson's done a couple, but the map itself is like a cube that you could print and like fold into it. And if they walk off one side, they go down the other edge, but they don't realize it because, you know, hashtag magic. And there's a lich in the end and, you know, lots of traps that are just there because they're there. You know, there's no like good explanation as to why stuff happens, you know, very, very, second edition kind of feel, and it's been a lot of fun. But yeah, I mean, like I like the fifth edition stuff, but you know, they're all coming out in big fat source books now. There's not a lot of individual adventures other than what's on DM's Guild. So, I prefer to go back to the old magazines for my stuff.
Awesome. Justin, what about you?
I run a bi-weekly Beckme game that started out. It's the same group I have for my second edition campaign. And I've been preparing new material for the second edition stuff. And we started Beckme as like a filler. And it's something I've always wanted to do. I actually found out first about Dungeons and Dragons from my buddy's brother when I was like a little kid. And I always wanted him to run it. But even before I'd read any of the books, I saw it and was like, oh man, this looks totally awesome. And actually the first thing I saw was a character sheet and it totally enthralled me. And he's like, oh yeah, I'll run it. You know, and he never did. So, you know, a few years go by and I got into second edition and, you know, I always had this, I don't know what it's this draw for Beckme. I even when I formed my second edition campaign, I found that I was like, man, I don't want like all these race class combinations. I was like, yeah. So I actually retrofitted my second edition game so that elves were a class, dwarves were a class, and everything was, you could only really be human and take other classes. So it ended up being kind of like Beckme with more options. And, then we started playing Beckme and it's just kind of blown up from there. And, it's so much fun. I mean, I almost want to switch my second edition game over to Beckme completely and, you know, just do that. And, just its versatility and everything. It's just, it's simplicity. I think it's the perfect, and BX is along the same lines. I mean, it's like the perfect D&D.
Yeah. It's the same, only better. You know? You're right. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
I mean, it's awesome stuff. And my group is totally, you know, like the deadliness, they were kind of taken aback by it at first, but now it's awesome. Like they joke about it, you know, they don't, it doesn't hit home very hard. You know, I mean, they're in a lot of new guys too that haven't played. So a lot of these guys are getting into D&D through Beckme and, you know, it was in second edition. So I'll be interested when we play fifth, because at some point I'm going to run it for us, the Phandelver stuff, but it's going to have a distinct old school vibe. Like I'm taking out the death save, I'm taking out all that stuff, you know, so it's going to be deadly and I'm going to change it up some, but for my group, but you know, we'll play some fifth edition too. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what we do. I've been playing since the early 90s.
Awesome. So,
you know, and done everything but fourth.
Cool. All right. So the next segment of the show is called Everything About You. And it is entitled as such from that famous band, Ugly Kid Joe. Their song, Everything About You. Do you guys want to go? I basically just talk about one thing about myself. And hopefully the guests can do the same. Not about me, but about themselves. That the listeners may not know about them. When you guys want to go or you want me to?
Why don't you start it off? Set the tone, man.
Yeah,
you can start. All right. So I do on every show, and people used to ask me, what are you going to do when you run out of Everything About You? I don't know. I just do the same one I did before, probably. So one of my games was canceled today, and it was only like the second, not today, but this week on Thursday, and it's only like the second session. And I was just like, man, I'm supposed to be like this famous podcaster. Why in the heck don't my players want to play? Am I like a terrible GM? What's going on with this game? And so Today I was going to say that I have big time imposter syndrome right now. I didn't even like hardly do any random screeds, but I knew that having these famous guys, here's Justin and DM David on my show, that would really pull me out of this funk, but I think we all know how that went. Justin, you got one?
Well, actually, right just a few minutes ago when my audio cut out, I was actually trying to get here. And I'm like, I gotta get back. You know, I felt like the rabbit from Alice in Wonderland. And I was like, I spilled my coffee. I dropped all my crap. And, you know, I think it's in the water. I mean, I could not get to the table. I'm like trying to get there. I'm getting all my stuff and like everything just spilled. And I was like, oh, man, this is like comedy of errors here. I'm like, what are they going to do? It's like, well, I don't know what's going to happen. Am I going to miss the podcast?
I will figure it out. Don't worry about it.
Oh man, it was crazy. Yeah, no,
Mr. David, yeah. Giving everything about you for us.
Yeah, sorry. Somebody just walked in, so I had to shut the door real quick.
I was like, oh, he left.
Gosh, everything about me.
Just one thing that maybe people don't know. Like, what did you do before you became a full-time writer?
I was an entrepreneur for a number of years. I ran an Amazon business, which eventually blended into my what I do now. I work for a tech company called Jungle Scout, which is a lot of people don't believe that I have a day job too, because I write so much for my blog. But yeah, I've got a day job. I'm actually the content strategist for a pretty high growth tech company out of Austin. But yeah, I've kind of worked for myself for a number of years, and it's been pretty nice. It was only until last year that I went back into the workforce, due to some issues I was having with my Chinese vendors, but that's a horror story for another time.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's kind of funny. With the Kickstarter, like everything I do kind of relates to that and built up to it. And it's been kind of nice to fold in something that's been a part of my life since I was like, oh gosh, I think I was 10 years old when I started D&D. I think it was like 91 or 92. So, yeah.
So you guys are pretty young. I started in 78.
Yeah. So.
But I was also young then. You
yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
We won't talk about that.
Yeah.
All right. So even though there's been this case of mistaken identity, I didn't really invite you guys here for Here's Justin or that you're DM the wrong blog. What I really wanted to talk about is the idea of melding old school maps, which is what Justin really does. I mean, they're all black and white and they look like they've just came out of Keep on the Borderlands. And the idea that, Dave is more of a 5e guy, right? So what exactly, I mean, why did you decide to approach, I mean, you mentioned, I guess, that his work ethic and his art, but I mean, didn't you feel like maybe it was more of an old school thing?
Yeah, and, or not, you know, really? It's funny, or, when you know, I approached him, this was before Dyson's Maps started taking over WotC, right? And like, this is, you know, Tim Schley was doing everything. Mm-hmm. Him and, what's his name, Blando, were doing all the maps with the new school Photoshop, you know, a million filters type style that, you know, everybody's been kind of spoiled with. And then I was really into the old school maps. I would go do a Google search for my own stuff and I'd come up with Dyson stuff. And then I saw JD posting stuff like every day. And I was like, man, I really, you know, this is the kind of maps that I want to work with, you know, stuff that one is easy to print, you know, it's black and white. So, you know, I'm not going to burn through my color cartridge. You know, it's easy to read. You know, there's nothing weird going on with it. And I just really dug the style and the proclivity of it. So I'm a fifth edition guy just because I was really big into third. I think that was probably the biggest investment I ever made was third. But like a lot of people, I got burned when they canceled third for fourth. But wasn't that? Oh, great. $2,000 worth of books are now worth nothing. Well, that's not true. I ended up selling them all and starting my business. So they were worth something. But yeah, I got back into fifth. Everybody was singing its praises. It's from a DM standpoint, it's really easy to like create new content for, which is what I've specialized in since. And you know, it's just a nice tight rule set. Yeah. I mean, there's like, I think like JD said, I miss the mortality rate of older editions. these people don't know what fear is, but, you know, like old Ravenloft, like make a fear save, make another fear save. You're dead. Like I miss a lot of that, but bringing that back, you know, Forsaken Peak is pretty hardcore. At least that's the way we're developing it. And we're trying to get that old feeling in with new rules, because the new rules are pretty clean. You don't have like 100 modifiers. You don't have to do THACO calculations, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm familiar with both. What do you think, Justin? How did you feel about some 5e guy wanting to use your Beckme maps for his project?
Well, the whole reason, I mean, even the reason I'm an illustrator, I mean, one of the things that is central, that is just my entire creative identity is built around this man at a time sort of thing. You know, I even talked to Tony DiTerlizzi a year ago. I was like, man, you know, what do I do? You know, cause I don't make the stuff that people like today. My art's not like that either. My illustrations. I mean, and he even said, he's like, he looked at it and he's like, man, you missed the boat by like 20 years. He's like, you know, you have two options. You can either embrace the modern style, or you can just head full tilt into the past and just make it modern. And so that's what I did. And that's what the maps are about. I'm like, you know, there's a place for everybody. You know, I mean, this is what I like doing. And just at that time, that's when stuff like Stranger Things was coming out. That's when all the, you know, the retro was getting back. You know, there was that time back in the 90s when in the 80s when the 50s were cool again. And, you know, there was that. It's happening now with the 80s. So I was like, man, it's perfect. So I don't mind giving him it. For me, it's a way
you're
help.
A jerk.
Not give it. No, you know what I mean? Like, I don't mind. No. That's not what I mean. I don't mind melding our shared vision, because it's the merging of two worlds. And that's ultimately my goal, is to find a relevant place here, you know. And I feel like it's a way to educate people on the way things were done and the things that matter to me, you know, about the things that matter to me, and then also be relevant to people that are playing today. So it's just a way to introduce something new, and, you know, maybe get something new going, you know, something that can inspire
introduce
people,
something
you know,
old and, to people that are new.
Introduce something new to old people.
Yeah, of course.
You know, actually, the whole point is to
bring
everybody together. Well, there's no reason
I'm all
we need
about
to be bickering,
inclusivity.
You know what I mean?
That's my main focus. That's why I do everything, really. All right. So we're going to talk about Forsaken Peak, but maybe we should talk about Broadsword first, right? Well, you guys want to talk about that?
They're a bit one and the same these days. I mean, we'd originally talked about doing a book for Forsaken Peak in the style of Fifth, but much to JD's chagrin, I was like, you know what? You know, I miss old Dungeon magazines. And when I say old Dungeon magazines, I mean the ones before when TSR was still publishing it, right?
That's the ones I'm familiar with, actually.
Yeah, not the full color Paizo ones, which are cool. Yeah. I mean, I really dig the Paizo ones, but I'm talking like, you know, black and white, very like you could format it in Word, Microsoft Word, in like just a few minutes, kind of format with, you know, minimal illustrations. The maps were probably drawn by the writers themselves, you know, stuff like that. And I was like, man, this was really cool. I put up a post like, hey, is this something people would be interested in? Like the feedback was amazing. So we were already working on Forsaken Peak, and I'm like, man, why don't we just put it in that and, you know, do this magazine format? And yeah, I mean, that's what happened. I think JD was like, what the heck? I thought we were doing a book.
Yeah.
It was, he stabbed me a couple times after that conversation, and I've since recovered. You know, I don't walk the same. I've got one less kidney, but hey, we got a magazine that's successful. And, but yeah, it's been, I think he missed him. I missed him. And then from the feedback we've been getting, a lot of other people miss just a print magazine that you can open up and hide behind your DM screen and run, you know, with, you know, some crazy adventure. Cause the adventures in those things were always just totally bonkers. And, you know, kind of do that. And it's been the toughest challenge is like a lot of the newer kids don't understand that you say the word magazine, they think like Newsweek or something, you know, yeah. It's like, you know, like 10, like 20 pages and a bunch of ads. I'm like, yeah, no, man, these things were like monthly books that you got in your mailbox. You know, they were pretty well put together. So yeah, anyways, that long story short, that's kind of what Forsaken Peaks come. So the first issue is going to feature the first part of Forsaken Peak. And then each subsequent issue after that will have other parts of it.
So it looks like your Kickstarter is going pretty well. I mean, you asked for what, $3,400 and you got 17,000. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was
290 backers. Mm-hmm. It's pretty awesome. Yeah,
and it's growing at a pretty good clip too. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously your first day is always the best when you do a Kickstarter and right. like your last week is good. But, you know, I think I put up a stretch goal a couple of days ago that ended up boosting us like another $5,000. So, it's going really well. And a lot of this has been mostly word of mouth, which is pretty exciting. And my Instagram and things like that. And then JD's been building mailing lists and leaning on his people too. And it's kind of funny. I think JD was telling me, he's like, man, people were coming out of the woodwork and telling him how excited they were about like his art in this project and stuff. So
yeah, this is your art on the cover then. Yeah. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah. Pretty exciting. Yeah. So, we're going to have a link in the show notes to Broadsword and apparently Forsaken Peak all in one. So, I mean, this is what we're about on this show, learning things that no one else knew. So that's pretty fantastic. Yeah.
And painted too. That's the big thing with that piece of art. It's not digital. I think you spent what, like a month and a half working on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the subsequent covers are going to be, you know, I'll be doing illustrations for the covers for the Forsaken Peak for the, you know, until it's done. So, I mean, it's
the Forsaken Peak thing is going
to be fun. I'm actually really looking forward to that.
Yep. Yeah. It's and the Forsaken Peak is going to be awesome. Definitely have a old school kind of a horror vibe to it, like monsters that just are just mean. the type of stuff like Gary would have come up with just because he was getting tired of his players that day.
So this is a monthly magazine that you're working on. This is pretty awesome because one of my buddies does a seasonal magazine, right, called DAM magazine, which stands for DCC and monthly news or something like that, which is all about Dungeon Crawl Classics and all the cool people that are involved in that. But he gets tons of contributors. So to think that you guys are doing this monthly magazine by yourselves, I'm just like, holy, you guys are biting off.
We're picking up contributors and this first one will be mostly us. I'm a pretty prolific writer as it is. Right. Like I said, I do about, gosh, just on the blog, probably 5,000 to 10,000 words a day. But yeah, we know if we did this month to month with just the two of us, I'm pretty sure we would go insane and
burn out. Yeah. Well, and that's part of the fun too, is that inclusiveness. You know, you might draw somebody who was big into the old school stuff and wants to write an adventure. And then you might get somebody from 5e who's like, oh man, you know, I want to write something in that style, or I want to write something in fifth edition style. You know, I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, but it's all going to be old school themed. So it's going to be, so it's really just, it's going to draw a bunch of people in, I think.
That's very exciting. All of us OSR people who are thinking, you know, we've only got about 2,000 of us. So it'd be nice to, you know, double that or something.
Pick up some of these.
Well, I mean, there's way more 5e players, but I don't know about like actual OSR people. So anyone time we're bringing some new people in, I always get excited. I would rather just destroy all of those walls and categories and all that anyway, and just be a bunch of gamers out here. So this will drop.
I've seen a good, healthy mix of, you know, like in my own Discord channel, it's mostly younger guys, but, you know, I've got grogs as well as, you know, kids who got introduced to it with like, you know, watching Critical Role and stuff, getting behind this. So yeah, it's going to be an awesome mix of people. And I think like when people see what an old school D&D magazine is, which we haven't had since 2008, it's going to be a kind of a big deal.
I'm pretty excited about it. Awesome. So, yeah, I guess all this other stuff I wrote in there is going away because we're yeah. already using a ton of time. So that's pretty exciting though. I mean, I'm happy about that. So, I guess I have a Patreon as well. And this is the time where I normally talk about it. And this is funny because you guys actually became patrons. So I thought I'd give you guys shout outs on this show.
Yeah.
So David Hamrick, Justin, absolutely. David Russell. Yeah, thank you very much for being patrons of Hobbs and Friends.
Hey, thanks, man.
So Justin is going to be playing Kalmata soon if he can gather any other people. And that's what you get at a $2 patron. So you can support this fantastic show with
yes.
Cases of My Mistaken Identity with guests.
Next week, I'm going to be Joe Manganiello.
Else, right?
Okay. Yeah.
You better start lifting.
I've got the gray in my beard, so I'm already got that covered.
Yeah.
I just saw him at Gary Con and I'm about 6 foot and he's about four or five inches taller than I am. So
through and through, he's a big, I think. Well, his death's
jeez.
You think so?
Well, he does 5e, but like his death save stuff is very like metal D&D.
Yeah,
it's all like pen and ink glitches and like Vecna and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, no, he's. I'd actually like a chance to meet that guy.
Oh, he's very nice. It'd be very cool. Nice guy.
I haven't hit any
comments. Also, I'm going to give a shout out to my man from Gothridge Manor, Tim Shorts. Tim, thanks for being a patron. He's also doing a lot of shout outs about the OSR Anchorites, which are basically a bunch of new podcasts that are being done on Anchor, the Anchor app. So if you ever want to listen to some podcasts, check them out. So, Dave, if someone wanted to talk to you about DM David, I mean, DM Dave, how would they get a hold of you?
You know, I'm pretty active on my Instagram, instagram.com/dungeonmasterdave, all one word. I've got a bunch of followers on there, but about once a week I put out, you know, and ask me anything, and I'm pretty good about getting back to everybody there. So now I'll talk about anything. Awesome. I don't care, man. I get some pretty random questions.
Add that to the show notes if you'd like, so people can find that if they want.
Absolutely.
What about you, JD? If they want to see how OSR your maps really are, how could they contact you?
Well, you can head to my Patreon. I post on Instagram as well at random encounters maps and with underscores between all of those words. And then there's my old school. I have all my art. I'm actually doing launching a new Patreon for my artwork that will help feed Broadsword. And that's patreon.com/epicworksstudio. WERKES. And that is going to be all black and white and monthly paintings. So, you know, it's going to be awesome. Some hardcore old school stuff. And hit me up on Facebook if you want to. You can find Epic Works on Facebook and you can find Random Encounters. That's the name of my
all
Patreon.
All those links are below. And if you would like to be a patron like these two fantastic dudes and Tim Shorts, go to www.patreon.com/OSRNHobbs. I'm also on the Twitters. The show's Twitter is at OSRNHobbs. My Twitter is at Hobbs Indeed. I check them both. You can also join the Hobbs and Friends groups on Facebook or MeWe or the ever popular Audio Dungeon Discord. If you want to know the link, let me know. Join up. It's pretty happening, don't you think, Justin?
It is. It is a huge community there. I see my friend. Actually, I just looked over and saw a buddy I know. My buddy Bronson's on there.
Well, you know what? Bronson lives in this area and he's going to play in my DCC game.
No way. Right on, man.
Yeah. Small world, right?
He's the one who brought me on to Sword and Spell. He's like, hey, man, you might like this.
His name's like Bronson Gorham or something, right?
Yeah. I don't know what his real name is. I don't know if that is his real name, but I know
that's
him as
how
Bronson.
They were talking. Yeah. That's how they were talking about him when they mentioned him. I found him. Some other guy mentioned to him and we were talking about this group. So anyway, there's a shout out to Bronson. You better listen to this show, right, buddy.
There you go, Bronson.
All right. So like I was saying, the show should drop soon. I'm dropping today, but it should have been a couple of days ago. I think I said the 11th, maybe. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Or no, was it a week after that? Anyway, in a couple of weeks, you should still have at least a few days, almost a week before the Broadsword Kickstarter winds up. So go out there and check it out. I think you'll be impressed. And for a magazine, I mean, I don't really think like that price is that out of whack. Like I pay $15 for Damn Magazine. So they look like equal. The covers are great. Everything that the content that you're talking about seems great.
It's about 100 words right now. I don't the count so, or 100 pages.
That does seem a little high.
Well, and even Imagine FX, that illustration magazine. I mean, the artists will know about the Imagine FX. I mean, those magazines are like $17 bucks a pop. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, it's not a lot, but you get a lot. It's totally worth it.
For 10 or 12 bucks and a couple adventures. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty awesome. Fantastic. So, all right, guys, I think we'll wrap this up. JD, any last words?
Have fun, everybody. And, really just, game and be happy.
Nice, Dave.
Oh man. I don't know, man. Just, I guess that's pretty good advice. You know, don't overthink it. It's just D&D.
Have fun.
It's just a game. Have some fun, people. Yeah. You know what I always say? It's better to burn out than to fade away.